Well, hello everyone. It's good to be back. And I trust that God will speak some life into you in ways that bring you into breakthrough so that you can move from glory to glory, which is the normal process of a Christian. They're forever progressing and moving from glory to glory. I don't necessarily have a sequence of what I do when I do these teachings during the week. I kind of just hear the Lord, and whatever the Holy Spirit tells me I need to do, I need to do. And so I want to talk today about the experience of rejection. I don't think there's anything in life that's more painful, more difficult than to feel abandoned, especially by people who are close to you, or to be rejected by people who are close to you or have been close to you. Nothing is more painful. Nothing is more difficult. And to be able to walk in glorious freedom in the midst of that is one of the more important and significant breakthroughs that you'll ever experience. Let me read this scripture to you. This is a really simple word today, but hopefully it'll be helpful to some of you. And I just assume there are going to be times when during these broadcasts, when I may do a word that sounds like something I did not that long ago, but it'll have some nuances to it because I don't ever keep notes. It'll have some different things about it, but if I feel like the Lord's saying to speak this, I'm assuming that there's somebody or somebody's going through this in a fresh way, and therefore they need a fresh word. So let me just read from Psalm 55, a couple of verses. Paul talks about this, maybe not Paul, but David talks about this battle that he's going through. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and am surely distracted. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. Now, down in verse 12, he identifies who this is that's coming against him. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, a man my equal, my companion, and my familiar friend. We who had sweet fellowship together and walked in the house of God among the people. Wow, that's pretty graphic, huh? That someone who had been a close friend, a familiar friend to David, was now attacking him. If you've lived long enough, every one of you will experience this. It's just a result of the brokenness in a fallen world. And people in their brokenness give in to all kinds of things that if it weren't for the fall, that wouldn't be impacted that way. It doesn't mean that they're not responsible for their actions. That's between them and the Lord. The Lord can hold them responsible. But the issue is that people do things like this. People, I heard somebody say, help themselves. That's just the way it is. And I thought, what a sad testimony. That's not true at all. The scripture says I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me, which means I can also live a life where I'm not criticizing people. So anyway, but if you're going through a place where you're suffering the pain of being spoken against, of being gossiped about, of being just rejected in some way, your affections being rejected, you're reaching out to someone who's been your friend being rejected, if you've somehow are experiencing all that, how can you walk in victory? Because our tendency is to step in and to want to defend ourselves or to speak something. And you may have already tried. The scripture says to be at peace as much as possible, to be at peace with all men. And maybe you've tried to reach out and be at peace with this person. And that's the thing to do, but there's just nothing you can do to fix it. So what do you do about the pain and the horror that's going on in your heart? I remember one time I was talking to the Lord about something, and I said, Lord, I'm afraid about this situation because I'm afraid if I make myself vulnerable in this situation, I'm going to get rejected. And I just know how difficult that is to steward. And so when you get rejected like that, your mind is obsessed with it. It can last a long, long time. It can consume your thinking, consume your thoughts, consume your emotions for a long period of time. And I just said, Lord, I don't want to go through that again. I don't want to experience that. And the Lord spoke to me, spoke in me. And I will use that phrase a lot because we abide in him and his words abide in us. And so Jesus said, if you abide in me and I in you, so when Jesus is abiding, when he's like being free to just be at home in us and live his life through us, he's going to speak words in us, not just to us, but speak words in us to us. And so he spoke this word in me to me when I said, Lord, I don't want to really go there because I'm afraid I'm going to get rejected and all the how painful that is. And the Lord said to me, he said, Chuck, I've done the rejection thing before, and I know how to handle being rejected. I've experienced it. I have experience with it. And we can walk through this, even if you get rejected, without it sticking to you and sliming you. And this blew me away because, of course, the Christ who lives in me, think of all the rejection he experienced. I mean, just let your imagination run wild in terms of not just Judas, and he called Judas his friend, but how about all the other disciples who, at the cross, they all fled. John eventually came back, but he was the only one who stood with the ladies there at the foot of the cross. The rest of them abandoned him. Think of the rejection that he experienced from those among the multitude who at one time, I'm sure, had wondered about him and followed him, who in John 6, because Jesus talked about eating his flesh, drinking his blood, they just walked away from him. Those who cried out for Barabbas to be released instead of Jesus. I mean, just think of all the rejection that Jesus went through. And so what Jesus was saying to me is, Chuck, I've done this rejection thing before, and I've overcome. See, in this world, we have tribulation. Jesus said that. He promised that. But he said, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. So the one who lives in me, the one who's my life, has already overcome all these things that I'll ever face. He's already overcome them. And he's now joined himself to me. And he's now joined his overcoming life to me. And in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. And so he's able to overcome my tendency to sink down into obsessive thoughts and bitterness and resentment and self-rejection as a result of others rejecting us. And so this is what, when Jesus told me that, and I realized, Jesus said, this is what we do. If you get rejected, what are we going to do? What is he going to do in me? But it requires my participation to experience it. Jesus said, what are we going to do? And Jesus says, we're going to love them more. We're just going to love them more. And we're not going to be offended with them. We're going to be offended for them. Because their rejection of you, their behavior of rejecting, comes from their brokenness. Comes from their brokenness. And they're doing the best they can with what they have to work with. And so in their brokenness, we're going to be offended for them. We're going to be offended, not disappointed in them, but disappointed for them. Because of what the enemy's doing to them and the destruction that he's bringing in their life, it would cause them to be so broken they would reject anybody. Or they would act the way they're acting. Now, that doesn't mean that if somebody rejects you, we shouldn't allow the Holy Spirit to evaluate our life to say, okay, Lord, is there anything going on in me that I need to own and repent? I'm never afraid to own stuff, are you? I always want to repent because every time I do, every time I own something and I repent, then I have another breakthrough. I go from glory to glory. So I like that. That's good. But having done all that, and then the behavior of the others that's just standing in front of us, then what do? We, in union with Christ, love them more. Again, am I talking about trying to love them more so you'll be like Christ? No. I'm talking about putting on Christ. I'm talking about simply sinking into the one who's already proven that when he gets rejected, he just loves them more. When they rejected Jesus, he didn't pout. He didn't become critical. He didn't get offended with them. He just loved them more. And so in that place, I just sink into him. And I thank him for his life in me. I thank him for the unoffendable life that he lives. And I thank him that I have the privilege of simply joining him and loving them more. And then his grace just takes over. His life just takes over. And I find myself loving them more. That doesn't mean that I'm going to keep reaching out, because I may have slammed that door, but it means I'm just going to, from the distance, even if there's a distance between us, I'm not going to love them less. I'm not going to love them the same. I'm going to love them more, because that's who Jesus is. I'm going to love them more. We are going to love them more. Jesus is going to love them more through my humanity, our participation in each other's life. Okay? So maybe that's a word for you. Check and make sure I don't go late. That if you're going through rejection, what an opportunity for you to be Christ-like. Again, not by trying to be Christ-like, but allowing the Christ who lives in you to be like himself. To simply want to have the holy curiosity to want to know what it's like to walk in glorious freedom from resentment and hurt feelings. Because that is glorious freedom. Have the kind of holy curiosity that says, Lord, I want to experience this. I want to experience what it's like to, in the midst of rejection, to just be able to love people more. To carry a burden for them instead of a burden for me because of what's happened to me. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is so significant and it's so freeing. And then what you'll find is that when that happens, you won't ever think anymore about what they did to you. Only your concern is what's happening to them, what the enemy's doing to them. And your heart's going to be filled with compassion and mercy and affection for them at a higher level, because it'll be the Christ level. Paul talks about in Philippians, about loving the Philippians with the affection of Christ. See, that's what when the affection of Christ takes over, it's supernatural. It makes no sense, but it's gloriously free. Amen? Okay, well, you have a blessed rest of the day. My prayer is that this word will strike a note in your heart, and that you will experience a breakthrough in that whatever situation you're in. And more than just a breakthrough in this situation, but it'll be a revelatory word to you, so that you step into a new place of glory where you don't live an offended life anymore, where you're not afraid of loving because you might get rejected, because the rejection is not going to cripple you or devastate you, because you're going to love them with the affection of Christ, and you're going to be hurt for them and not hurt with them. Amen. Okay. Well, have a good day.